Going into Sunday's Academy Awards, handicappers from Baltimore to Los Angeles say the Oscars race for Best Picture comes down to three: Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, and American Hustle. And this one is hard to predict. American Hustle already won the top prize from the New York Film Critics Circle. Gravity was the favorite of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. And 12 Years and Hustle each won Best Picture Awards at the Golden Globes in January. Midday Film Critics Linda DeLibero and Christopher Llewellyn Reed sort it out for us in the hour ahead. Plus, music composer and producer Jeff Truman selects the best original score of the year. It's time again for our annual Oscars preview, Midday on Film, after the news from NPR. And welcome back to our second hour of Midday. Dan Rodericks here. Thanks again for joining us. Hollywood's elite take to the red carpet this Sunday night's the 86th Annual Academy Awards. While there's always plenty of attention given to the stars, the main event, of course, is Best Picture, which movie will receive the award for Best Picture. And some years, you know, you can tell what's going to happen. I think last year, maybe the year before here on Midday on Film, the Friday before the Oscars, we pretty much knew what was who was going to win on Sunday night. But this year, there seems to be a three-way race. It's boiling down to, it looks like, 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle, and Gravity. And I say it looks like. It's based on all of my reading on this and what Las Vegas is saying. Las Vegas is making 12 Years a Slave the favorite to be selected as Best Picture, to get the Best Picture Oscar. But today on this show, this is our annual Oscars preview show with our Midday on Film critics Christopher Llewellyn Reed and Linda DeLibero. So we're going to go over all the nominations today and get talk about them with Linda and Chris. Linda, nice to see you again.
Good to be here, Dan.
Chris, it's Super Bowl weekend, basically, for you guys.
Absolutely.
For film lovers. So I said it's a three-way race. That's from my reading. But this is all hunch and speculation. There could be some huge, shocking surprise, but there is some suspense this year.
Yes, and it does look like it's basically a three-way race between 12 Years a Slave, Gravity, and American Hustle, with it really being a two-way race between 12 Years a Slave and Gravity.
And this is all based on this speculative press that we read,
nobody
right?
can really know,
nobody
but
knows.
It's based on the speculative press.
Is there any, I mentioned those three, Linda. I mean, do you have your eye on any other film possible?
No.
Best Picture, okay.
Basically, no, I don't think so. And my feeling, I'm never right, so please don't place any bets based on what I have to say. But I could just see American Hustle kind of sneaking in there and taking it away.
It got a Golden Globe.
Yes.
For Best Comedy.
People like it. It really started to pick up momentum. And here's the thing. Everybody knows that 12 Years a Slave should be the film that gets it by all rights for many, many reasons. And I think some Academy voters will feel obligated to vote for it, or have already voted for it, of course. Mm-hmm. They will have done the right thing, but I don't think they necessarily are doing it because they liked the film, which is quite a painful experience. So there may be some. I mean, nobody is looking over your shoulder when you're filling out these ballots. So it might just be that they picked the film that they enjoyed the most.
Of all these nominations, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, The Wolf of Wall Street. We get more nominations every year. But of all those, which one, I'm going to ask you, which one would you want to see a second time that you liked so much that you would see it a second time? Chris, which one would that be for you?
For me, it would actually be a number of them. But
really? So you liked a bunch.
I did. I really liked 12 Years a Slave. I really liked Her, Nebraska, Philomena, and American Hustle, and even Dallas Buyers Club. These are films that I would really enjoy seeing again.
So a good list, if in your mind. How about Linda?
It's a strong field this year. I loved Nebraska. I think it's some of Alexander Payne's best work. I know that Chris didn't like The Wolf of Wall Street, but I thought it was spectacular. And Scorsese's best film maybe since Goodfellas. So I only saw it once. I would love to see it again. I did see 12 Years a Slave twice, and I've said it many times on this show. I think it's well worth seeing. I think everybody should see it. And the one that I really am not that crazy about, and I think Chris would agree with me on this, is Gravity.
Okay.
Not so great.
I'm a little surprised at all the buzz Gravity got. I mean, I enjoyed watching it. I thought, in terms of special effects, it was kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Computer generation and all that really cool stuff, and especially if you saw it in 3D. But I was a little surprised to see it on this list.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. It's a special effects extravaganza, and yeah, it deserves all the kudos it's getting for that. But every time the characters open their mouths, I winced. I find the script really painful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's go through the nominees. We'll listen to some clips here during this hour of the show. We'll invite phone calls from our listeners if you want to comment. Tell us about your favorite film of the year, 410-662-8780. I like American Hustle because there's a Baltimore connection to the story that I wrote about in my column. This was based on the AB scam,
right,
FBI sting of the late 1970s. In the mid 1970s, there was a sting similar to this carried out in Baltimore, sort of the prototype that became AB scam and depicted in this film, American Hustle. So, and I actually covered the federal trial of these guys. They were indicted as a result of that. So I liked it too. So I was looking at it that way. But I really did enjoy this film. You have a clip for us.
I do. In this clip, Richie DeMazzo, who's the FBI agent, played by Bradley Cooper, who's caught Irving Rosenfeld, played by Christian Bale, and Sidney Prosser, played by Ian Adams.
And he's the con man.
Irving Rosenfeld is a con man. So he caught them red-handed, and now he's kind of going to force them into this sting operation that he wants to run on corrupt businessmen and politicians. And he's explaining to them, or trying to, how he wants it to run. And just a quick note, Amy Adams has a fake British accent through most of the movie, and it's supposed to sound like a fake British accent.
You're gonna do this because you got no choice. You work for me.
You keep changing the rules. You know, you're getting a little power drunk, Richard. You know, you wanna tell him anything? You wanna wake him up?
Oh, no. I said we shouldn't do any of it, Irving. You know I said that. So now I support Richie. He's got vision. Do it heavy or don't do it.
What does that mean? I mean, he's the one ruining America, not me.
How the f am I ruining America?
Because people just got over Watergate and Vietnam, all right? And you're gonna shit all over politicians again? Hey, just because you wanna be a big shot, get a promotion.
No. I'm thinking big. All right, this is gonna be fantastic. We're doing video surveillance. I'm doing this from the feet up.
You will never do it properly because you got too much government attitude to be small and sleek. I'm like the Viet Cong, man, all right? I'm in and I'm out. I was there the whole time. You don't know it, all right? That's an art of becoming somebody who people can pin their beliefs and their dreams on.
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever been to a movie where you were almost the only person laughing?
Yes, many times.
Oh, yeah.
Many times?
All the time.
Well, I saw this at the Senator, and I spent a good amount of time laughing at a lot of the lines and the characterizations, the characters.
Yeah.
Other people didn't seem to be, you know, guffawing anything, but I really thought it was a funny movie.
Yeah, it's when I listen to that clip, I think about, you know, Christian Bale's performance is really quite subtle and great. And doesn't get very much credit. And likewise, Amy Adams has been getting a lot of credit, but I would say she is the best young actress working today, and she's spectacular.
I would agree.
Film.
She is great in that movie, and she's nominated for Best Actress.
She is, and she may be the one to steal it from Cate Blanchett, but we can talk about that later.
And Christian Bale is nominated as Best Actor.
In fact, this is the second time that a David O. Russell film, he's the director, has been nominated in all four acting categories.
Wow.
The last time was last year was Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's a good director of actors.
Of actors, yes, he certainly is.
I'm glad you're here because I didn't remember that. That's David O. Russell.
Uh-huh.
Wow, okay. Gravity is the next one. So let's talk about Gravity a little bit. We'll listen to a clip from it. Your problem was it's spectacular. You said it. Great special effects. Amazing. It's very scary, too. And the problem is Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. And
God. Yep.
I could do the clip myself.
Well, we're going to do it. We're going to listen to it now. That's pretty much it.
It is what's so hard to find clips for this movie, and this is the best I could do. It's basically she's lost in space.
Houston, you copy. Mission Specialist Ryan Stone, I am off structure and I'm drifting. Do you copy? Anyone?
So the thing that this clip really demonstrates, though, is how much of the movie Sandra Bullock spends alone drifting through space. And I will say this, as much as I don't think it deserves a Best Picture nomination, I really liked her in it, and I think she carries the movie. And
oh, yeah, I'm a liker. I just, is this Best Picture,
Well, there's been some interesting articles trying to explain why this might win. There's a large contingent in the Academy of what are called below-the-line technicians, so cinematographers, editors, visual effects supervisors, who are extremely impressed, as they should be, with the film. And so there's a chance that that vote could make it win. It's more likely that we're going to see a split of the Best Director, Best Picture, Oscar, although I'd still like both of those to go to 12 Years a Slave. But there's a chance that the Academy will split the difference and give one award to Gravity and the other to 12 Years a Slave.
I think that happened at the Golden Globes. The Golden Globe, I think in January, the Best Director was the Director of Gravity. And I think they had Best Pictures. They had a comedy and a drama. And they gave it American Hustle and...
And 12 Years a Slave.
Right. Okay. So, Linda, one last thing I wanted to say about this. This is the kind of film, I can't imagine seeing this film on a small screen.
No.
When DVD, you know, in the house. If you missed it on the big screen, you really did miss something.
Yeah.
So, I'll say that.
Yeah. It's kind of a mystery to me. And the funny thing is, I don't know that many people who actually really liked it. Even my students didn't like it that much.
Okay. Linda, we're going to talk about 12 Years a Slave. I guess, Chris, why don't we listen to the clip first? Why don't you set it up and we'll talk a little bit about it.
Absolutely. So as everyone knows, this is the true story of Solomon Northup, who was stolen from the North. He was a free black and was made a slave for 12 years. And in this scene, he's by this point living on the plantation of Master Epps, played by Michael Fassbender. And Michael Fassbender has been carrying on an affair with a female slave named Patsy, who here is explaining, and she's played by Lupita Nyong'o, who's nominated for Best Supporting Actress. And she's here explaining to Master Epps why she's been going illicitly to another neighboring plantation.
I went to Master Shaw's plantation.
You admit it.
Yes, freely. And you know why? I got this from Mrs. Shaw. Mrs. Epps won't even grant me no soap to clean with. I stink so much I make myself gag. £500 of cotton, day in, day out. More than any man here. And for that, I will be clean. That's all I ask.
Linda.
Yes. And again, difficult film. I think, the problem for Academy voters is that this is a difficult film to watch, and it makes people feel bad. And feel bad films, I'm putting this in the very simplest of terms, but this is the Oscar mentality. We all know it. It's a film that, you know, I hope that if it wins, it doesn't win for the reasons that a film like Crash won years ago.
It surprised everyone, yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, was part of Hollywood's liberal, quotation marks, consciousness, and it was not a good film at all. Now, this is really, I would argue, a great film. But the main character in particular is difficult to access. We don't really get inside of his consciousness. We see what happens to him. It's a different kind of film in that regard. And that, again, is also, I think, very difficult for your sort of mainstream viewer to think of as an award-winning, you know, it's a great picture, but is it an entertainment?
Yeah, I think another reason why the Academy might not go for it is box office, because this can have an influence on, not always, but it can. And Gravity is the number six film of 2013. It made over $260 million. American Hustle made $145. 12 Years a Slave made just under $50 million. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance that could play a role. I think it's an absolutely stunning film. I think it's beautifully photographed. One of the tragedies is that the cinematographer was not nominated.
What did you think of Linda's criticism about getting inside the head of the main character?
You know, I felt like that was part of the purposeful intention of the director, that we are placed in this kind of impossible situation, almost as outside observers. And I it didn't kick me out of the film at all. I felt very involved with the story.
Right. Yes. It isn't. It's a very conscious strategy on Steve McQueen's part, and I think it works. It serves to make us see this from a distance because it in some ways increases our frustration at not being able to truly enter this world. It makes us feel as alien as the characters in this world that they've been trapped in.
Linda DeLibero and Christopher Llewellyn Reid are critics here on Midday on Film. This is our annual red carpet radio show, the Friday before the Oscars. You're welcome to join our conversation here, 410-662-8780, as we run through the nominations for Best Picture, and we'll talk about the Best Actor and Actresses and nominations as well. 410-662-8780 if you want to join us in conversation. Our email address, midday@wypr.org. Comment from Steve, one of our listeners in Baltimore. He says, I think Bruce Dern should get Best Actor, partly for sentimental reasons, as he has never gotten the credit he deserves, and for his fine, almost pantomime work in the movie Nebraska. That in no way detracts from the performance of the leading man in 12 Years a Slave, a monumental performance and an outstanding picture. But he's got a lot of time left, that young actor, and Bruce Dern does not. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
That plays into it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I would have no objection to Bruce Dern.
You really liked Nebraska, too.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Let's listen to another clip. Let's go back to the top of our list here. Captain Phillips is a Tom Hanks film from the summer. Boy, I thought this was really good. I was on the edge of my seat throughout this whole movie.
I thought it was a really good thriller. At the end, the final 20 minutes or so, the kind of not necessarily an intended consequence by the director, but the awesome display of U.S. military might kind of, for me, just became a visual that I had some issues with. But I thought it was a wonderfully thrilling film, and I thought the performance of Barhad Abdi, who plays the Somali pirate captain, was definitely deserving of the nomination. He's basically an unknown new actor. And he gets that famous, now iconic line from the film, I am the captain now.
Right, interesting what you had to say about the show. You mean it almost becomes a Harrison Ford film.
And I think it's unintentional. It's over the top for me.
Yeah, I don't remember feeling that way about it.
I think that was very conscious.
I thought it was kind of limited, but anyway.
You end up feeling for those Somali pirates. Not all of them. I mean, the bad guy's pretty bad, but the captain is certainly somebody who turns out to be very sympathetic. And I think when the military comes in, you just look at the absurdity of that machine using its might and its power in service of, trampling this teeny tiny little group of, Somalis who are just trying to make a living, albeit in their, questionable way. So that didn't bother me about the film. And it is, it's real great Paul Greengrass territory. Very thrilling.
You suggested a clip for
us. Yes, so this is basically when Tom Hanks, Captain Phillips, is explaining to the Somali pirates and to the leader, Muse, Barhad Abdi, why the cargo ship, which just tried to outrun the pirates, can no longer respond to the controls.
We got a problem. We pushed the ship too hard. We're off the grid. That means the computer's now offline.
Captain.
The ship's broken.
Captain. No one get hurt if you don't play no game.
It's the ship's broken. We had to go.
Nobody gets hurt. Easy. Hey! Look at me.
Sure.
Look at me. Sure. I'm the captain now.
There's the line.
There's the line.
Dallas Buyers Club. Let's move right along here. Dallas Buyers Club, Matthew McConaughey. Amazing performance.
Yeah, I think this is a film I enjoyed a little bit more than Linda. It's based on a true story of Ron Woodruff, who was a straight man who contracted the HIV virus in the 1980s, and he's played by Matthew McConaughey, and the odds are on him to actually win the Oscar for Best Actor, perhaps in some ways to reward him for turning his career around from the rom-com hell that it was in. But he gives an amazing performance, I think. So does Jared Leto, but he's probably not going to win Best Supporting Actor.
You don't think so?
I think the odds are, I don't know. There are other contenders, but I think it's pretty sure that Matthew McConaughey will win for Best Actor.
Yeah, definitely.
Linda, I want to hear from you about Dallas Buyers Club. I'd never heard from you on this before.
You didn't?
You were about it? Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think Matthew McConaughey will get the Oscar precisely because this is one in a number of really fine performances that he's been turning in the past 2 years and has completely turned around his career. I mean, the Wolf of Wall Street cameo is just remarkable, right? And so this guy is unstoppable. But the film itself, I found it to be sort of your typical kind of liberal, all the, you know, right characters doing all the right things and not particularly, the uplift was there, but it was fine, but I didn't think it was a great movie.
He's also in True Detective on HBO,
yes,
and having a pretty good run there,
yes,
too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Let's take a call. Alex in Baltimore. Alex wanted to comment about Gravity. Thanks for calling Midday. Alex, go right ahead. Okay, I guess we lost Alex. Anyway, let's move on to the next film, Her. Now, a lot of people were excited about this movie, thought it was really interesting and different. Go right ahead on this, Chris. I know you liked it.
Yes, I am one of those who was quite excited by this film made by Spike Jonze. I thought it was an extraordinary look at what could be the very near future of an intelligent operating system. We already spend all of our time on our computers or our smartphones or whatever's about to come out. And so I think it's a logical leap of great vision that we could easily find ourselves spending, you know, all of our time interacting with our phone in an intelligent way, and perhaps even that being our primary relationship. And for many people, it already is. And so I thought this film did an amazing job, not only creating a story, but even designing the very near future. The production design and the cinematography of this film are outstanding. Mm. And I found it moving. I mean, the love story at the center of it is very well drawn. Scarlett Johansson, even though we never see her, delivers an amazing audio performance. So I was a big
fan.
As an operating system.
And Joaquin Phoenix is in love with his operating system.
He is, yes.
He falls in love with her, right? Linda, I hadn't heard from you on this one either.
I agree with the production design and the cinematography. I thought they were, I've never seen the near future created quite so convincingly, right down to the semi-odd clothing that the men in particular are wearing. I mean, it was all really convincing. Where I found it to be not particularly interesting is with the relationship between the two of them. I thought that, you know, after a few exchanges between them, there was nothing about that relationship that convinced me that this guy would forego contact with the real world for this girl, because their conversations, their romantic relationship was so banal and ordinary that I stopped caring about it.
So people were, what, Chris, sort of set up in the idea of the film, maybe?
Well, I disagree.
The execution as
well. I think the conceit of the film is brilliant.
I would disagree with my colleague about the banality of those exchanges. And in fact, I think he is set up to be a banal enough character that this is sort of what he experiences as a relationship. I mean, we could differ, but we both agree on certain elements of it and that it's a worthy conceit. So I think it's a film worth watching.
Male-female perspectives, maybe a little gender difference here.
Yeah, I think that's true. Could be. Absolutely true.
But let's listen to the clip. Why don't you set up the clip for us?
Absolutely. So in this clip, Samantha, voiced by Scarlett Johansson, the intelligent operating system, is confessing to Theodore, the Joaquin Phoenix character, that she's beginning to have slightly more complicated feelings about the world.
Earlier I was thinking about how I was annoyed, and this is going to sound strange, but I was really excited about that. And then I was thinking about the other things I've been feeling, and I caught myself feeling proud of that, you know, proud of having my own feelings about the world, like the times I was worried about you, and things that hurt me, things I want. And then I had this terrible thought. Like, are these feelings even real? Or are they just programming? And that idea really hurts.
So this film probably isn't going to win Best Picture as much as I liked it. It's one real chance at winning an award is probably the screenplay, though there are other worthy contenders in that category. And, you know, possibly production design, but I suspect it may be shut out. But if it's going to win anything, it'll probably be one of those two categories.
Did either of you have an argument this year over the quality of a film? With your friends? I mean, maybe you and Linda argued about the quality of a particular film. Big disagreement. There's sort of subtle disagreements here today between the two of you. But among people you see films with, mm-hmm. of those on the list, among nominees, did you have friends saying, you know, something they were excited about and you said, or something you were excited about and others said,
Yes, Gravity.
Gravity.
And for me, it just boils down to the script.
But Linda said you didn't meet anyone who was really excited about it.
Most of the people I know, and again, I say including my students, because they're better bellwether than people my age maybe sometimes. And, you know, they really not a single one of them, and we talked about this in class too, not a single one of them said, this film just blew me away.
But some people like it because it did make almost $270
million. Yeah, somebody I guess they're just not the
people. And certainly
I
among
know.
My circle of friends, there were plenty of people who liked it a lot more than I did.
Yeah. All right, there's a little bit of a spoiler alert here in the question I'm about to ask Chris and Linda. So this has to do with Gravity. If you haven't seen it, just turn the radio down for about 45, 50 seconds, okay? And that won't spoil anything for you. But I need to ask, when Clooney knocks on the window, did you think he was back? Did you think that was real?
For a moment, but it made no sense. So I began, I was momentarily.
How long was your moment?
For about 10 seconds. I was like, really? He's going?
They had me through the whole conversation. Yeah. How about you, Linda?
Yeah, I'm bad at telling what's
real. I thought the guy was back.
It just made no sense, even in that film. So, but I was with them for about 10 seconds.
Have faith.
All right. I just had to ask. All right, you can turn your radios back up if you haven't seen Gravity and we didn't spoil anything for you. This is Nate's comments about American Hustle. He says, I am surprised, and the word surprise is in all capitals. I am surprised that everyone is so in love with this movie. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a very good movie, but I leave it at that. It doesn't come close to Silver Linings Playbook in terms of its writing and storytelling. It is a Sting wannabe that doesn't quite have that punch at the end. I will say this, though. All the acting is superb. I especially think that Jennifer Lawrence outshines Amy Adams, who is much too heavy-handed in her depiction of the role. In a nutshell, American Hustle is a showpiece of wonderful acting, but it doesn't add up to the sum of its parts. I think it's a pretty good ensemble there. I don't know.
And I think it's the kind of movie that people just love for Academy Awards. These great performances, ensemble acting. It is not, despite the fact that it seems as if it could all go really sour, it's a pretty uplifting film too. It won Best Comedy for the Golden Globe, so it's not a downer.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, and it's very funny. So, I think there are a lot of reasons to like it. I don't know if it's a great movie, but it's the kind of movie that is a great Oscar movie.
It's a very smart film. It's a very smart script.
Yeah, the screenplay is great, I think.
Dave is calling in Baltimore to talk about Philomena. So before we get Dave's comments, I'd like to listen to a clip. Why don't you just set up a clip for us on this one, Chris, this is Judy Dench.
Absolutely. So Philomena is about the Philomena character played by Judy Dench, her search for her long-lost son. And in this scene, she's riding on one of those airport golf carts with Martin Sixsmith, the former British press secretary who's going to help her find her son. And he's played by producer and co-writer of the movie, Steve Coogan. And so here they are riding through the airport.
Is that an interesting book? I've just finished mine.
Mine's rather dull. It's about the October Revolution, political horse trading.
Oh, mine's about horses. It's about this fellow Robert, and he's engaged to this Duchess. And he's only the son of a doctor, so he's done very well for himself. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she thinks he's as dull as ditch water. So he takes up an interest in the horses, because that way he'll get in with the upper classes. And, of course, he meets this girl down at the stables. And she's not even a doctor's daughter. Her father's a farmhand, and he only has the one foot.
Oh dear.
But anyway, of course, they fall in love. But the thing is, Martin, this Duchess, she only wants Robert, despite the fella she's really after. And then towards the end, she finds out that the stable girl has designs on Robert. But before that, the father with the one foot dies, and he says to Robert, follow your heart.
Yeah, that sounds like a real page turn.
Well, you can borrow it.
That's okay.
No, I finished it
I feel like I've almost read it.
Sounds like a real page turner. Oh, I like that clip.
It gives you a sense of the of the lightheartedness of some scenes in a potentially very dark film.
Mm-hmm. But the two of these, they're on film on screen a long time, right?
Yeah, almost most of the film together. Yeah. In fact, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's such a smart film.
Yeah, you liked it, Linda.
Oh, I liked it. It surprised me. I went in thinking it was going to be one of those sort of fey British comedies, and. Mm-hmm. It was very powerful. It really is.
Just a little bit on this. Philomena is trying to find a son that she had.
Yes, her son who was adopted out away from her by the nuns who had taken her in after she gave birth out of wedlock.
I get you. Okay. Dave, thanks for holding. Let's hear what you think about this film. Go right ahead, Dave.
I thought that Philomena movie was just beautiful. I sort of left it saying, I don't need to see a movie for another couple months. It just the way the plot unfolded, your little clip just shows the odd couple. There's a subtext there of Martin, the non-believer, and Philomena, who still has her faith. And the evolution of searching out for this loved, lost child that she just wondered whether he ever thought about her. And Judy Dench, a lot of moments where she doesn't say anything, and just some real moments where the uncovering of the story, it just very emotional. I do the Dallas Buyers Club, tremendous acting job by the two lead actors in that one, and of course, 12 Years a Slave was wonderful. And Wolf of Wall Street, just crazy humorous moments, even though pretty obscene moments too, but that's my take on some of the movies.
Dave, yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate that, Dave. A comment from Keith on Gravity. And I meant to say this when we played the clip that you selected, Chris. He says, I thought the greatest redeeming value of Gravity was the superb score. It really made you feel that the special yet claustrophobic, or does he mean spatial? Excuse me, spatial yet claustrophobic feeling of being in a position like that. And I meant to say during the clip that we had, the best part of the clip to me was the music, and I hadn't really paid attention, I think, when I was seeing the film for the first time.
And the score written by Stephen Price is nominated for an Academy Award. Right. So
We're going to take a break here. When we get back, Jeff Truman's going to be joining us from High Gravity Sound. He produces a lot of the music you hear on Midday. And I said, listen to the nominations for original score. Come in, talk a little bit about them, and then tell us which one you like. So Jeff Truman will be joining us in just a few minutes. If you want to comment about the Academy Award nominations, the movies of the past year with Linda DeLibero and Christopher Reed, Dan Rogers here in Studio A, give us a ring, 410-662-8780, toll-free long distance, 866-661-9309, the Midday email address, midday@wypr.org. Did I read where John Williams has 49 nominations, 49 best, score, best original sound, not soundtrack, best original music for films over the years, 49 nominations, John Williams.
Wow.
Again, nominated this year. Back to Midday on Film. So in this segment of the show, I invited Jeff Truman in. Jeff, nice to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jeff is a music composer and producer with High Gravity Sounds Sound in Baltimore, and he produces a lot of the music you hear on our show. So I said, why don't you listen to the original score nominations, talk about them a little bit on the show, and then tell us which one you like.
Sure. There are 5 nominations from the movies Gravity, The Book Thief, Philomena, Saving Mr. Banks, and Her. And when I was listening to some of these works, I thought I'd really fall in love with Gravity. And I will confess, I have.
We just heard a little bit of it.
I think it's very cool because the composer is creating some of the sounds that go along with the compositional elements, the traditional orchestral elements. And I think that is just a wonderful, modern way to go about it. Mm. And in my opinion, Breaking Bad is a good example of that technique, where you're creating sounds that go along with more traditional instrumental elements. Hmm. Then I listened to John Williams and The Book Thief, and in my opinion, he is indeed the master. He delivers. Think about it. We were all scared to go in the water with two notes.
Yeah.
That's Charles power.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's
right.
Power.
Yeah.
And then I listened to Philomena. And the same could be said of this score. There's some subtle differences. There's a sense of history in the music that matters to the characters. And I think that the way Alexandre Desplat put together the themes and remixed them in various forms throughout the film shows a lot of talent. I wasn't particularly fond of the music of Saving Mr. Banks. It didn't really grab me. In my opinion, I really love the music in the original Mary Poppins. And so any kind of redo of that music just doesn't quite strike me as original. Then I got to Her, and here's where I was completely blown away. I honestly didn't think I'd like the score because I wasn't sure that I'd like the premise of the film. And I'll be honest with you, I'm still a little undecided about that. But I will say, if you can take a moment, and I don't know if this is possible for the listeners, but if you can just take a moment and stop what you're doing and just listen, you might get a sense of what I'm talking about. I just love how heartbreaking and beautifully poignant this very simple piano piece is. You know, this is not the kind of piano piece that's written by a technically virtuosic piano player, not at all. This is something that any person could write if they just got in touch with that place that's vulnerable and human. And that to me is where its power comes from. It's just lots of space in this music. And it's the space, in my opinion, that really brings out some of the pain. And it's just beautiful. So my choice would be the music from Her.
Thank you, Jeff. I see Chris Reed, who liked the film, nodding in agreement about the music.
I thought the music was absolutely stunning in this film, and it added to the other elements I described, the production design and the cinematography. It's Arcade Fire, right?
Yes.
It's the group that wrote it, and it really is. And I love how minimalist it is, and as we've just heard.
Indeed.
It's the opposite of the soundtrack to either The Book Thief, which you liked, and Saving Mr. Banks, which you didn't. It's the complete opposite.
Right. You all listen to film music? Film scores?
I do. I mean,
like in an iPod or online?
I do. I listen to quite a lot.
Yeah, me too. I find myself getting hooked on it more and more. It's really interesting.
It's beautiful.
So thank you, Jeff Truman from High Gravity Sound. Thank you very much. Sit in the rest of the way with us, Jeff.
Sure,
you don't have to rush off unless you want to get some pizza outside the studio.
I've already done that. Thank you.
I have two emails here about Gravity. This one is from Tina, who says, I did not like Gravity. I found Sandra Bullock's character really annoying, and I love her as an actress. I've started to judge people negatively when they say they liked it.
That's
funny. It's a new measure of whether
it's funny.
Would somebody out there please come forward who liked this
Gravity?
Film,
it made $270 million.
I want to find that.
It's right here.
One person has gone to this film 270 million times. No, I guess you'd have to divide that by $15.
I've got an email here, Linda.
Really?
Yeah, I've got what you want.
Good.
Yeah, this
good.
Is from Alexander.
Good.
Alexander says, Gravity is the most sensuous film ever made. Never before have I felt so fully inside the physical space of a film. The dialogue is indeed weak, but as pure cinematic experience, this deserves the nomination. And in a less competitive year, perhaps the award for Best Picture. Seeing it on a home TV will make no sense at all. Concur with that, Alex. Thank you very much. We want to talk about Nebraska next, right?
Sure. Yeah, it's
because
a great, great film.
We mentioned Bruce Dern earlier, who's nominated for Best Actor in Nebraska, and Chris Reed has a clip for us from that film.
Yeah, so this film is about Woody Grant, played by Bruce Dern, going on an odyssey to Nebraska to collect what he thinks are his sweepstakes winnings. And he drafts his son, David, played by Will Forte, to go with him, to drive him. And in this scene, they're sitting in a diner or a bar, I forget, and they're talking about life, love, and family. And we really get a sense of what the Brewstern character is like in this scene.
How did you and Mom end up getting married?
She wanted to.
You didn't?
I figured what the hell.
Were you ever sorry you married her?
All the time. Could have been worse.
Well, you must have been in love. At least at first.
Never came up.
Did you ever talk about having kids? Like how many you wanted and stuff like that?
Nope.
And why did you have us?
Because I like to screw. And your mother's a Catholic, so you figure it out.
So you and Mom never actually talked about whether you wanted kids or not?
Well, I figured if we kept on screwing, we'd end up with a couple of you.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's really good. What are his chances of getting the Best Actor Oscar?
Not so good.
Not so good?
I think the reward is the nomination.
What'd you think of this film? I've heard from Chris on it.
Yes,
Linda?
I loved it. I think it's a wonderful film. And Bruce Dern's performance is very moving, and he has very little to work with, and he doesn't have a lot of dialogue. That's about as much as he has to say.
Wow.
It's all in his face. It's there in his eyes, and he's so moving, and the film is, I love the film.
He's on a journey to pick up some winnings. He thinks he's going to pick up some winnings.
He's received one of those sweepstakes letters that are now not so common that says, "Congratulations, you've won $1 million." And he doesn't have a lot going on in his life. He's an alcoholic, and his wife has basically, taken away his car keys, and he's in his 70s, and this is his dream. He latches onto this dream.
And it's just such a beautiful portrayal of a world that you never see on film. And I remember hearing critics saying things like, oh, people aren't like that. And if you don't think they are, then you need to go to the Midwest. And
what was the film, also set in the Midwest, about a guy who needed to get...
Oh, yeah, The Straight Story, David Lynch.
You know
Lynch.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah, and
it's a David Lynch film.
It's a David Lynch film. Richard Farnsworth.
Who later died after it was made.
Yeah,
He was on a lawnmower.
He was on a lawnmower.
A sit-down mower, and it was his only means of traveling to visit his brother.
Dean Stanton, right.
Maybe it was Harry Dean Stanton who died after
No,
film.
No, it was Richard Farnsworth.
Right. But his brother is dying, is portrayed in the film as having cancer, and he wants to visit him one last time. Right?
Uh-huh, yep.
So I don't know why it made me think
of
this.
Well, it has a similar vibe in some ways, although, it's a David Lynch film. But that's a good comparison.
Arthur in Hamden giving us a ring. Arthur, thank you for joining us on Midday on Film.
Yes, I was interested in maybe a possible breakdown. Your female guest is referenced an Academy type of picture, such as American Hustle will probably win because it's an Academy type of picture. But what about a picture that will win not because it's an Academy type of film, but what's the best film, and what do your guests feel are the best films, not necessarily what the Academy thinks is going to win, what they personally feel are the best?
Good question. I would like to hear from Linda DeLibero on that.
That's a very good question. When I say an Oscar type of film or an Academy picture, I'm referencing this the very fact that most of the films that get nominated are films that are fairly accessible to a mainstream audience, that have a narrative that is some of them are a little offbeat, but mostly follow a traditional narrative arc, strong on character, narrative, performance, usually have some entertainment value, whatever that means, as opposed to smaller indie films. I guess you could think of the unusual films in this group would be Nebraska, which is quite a bleak film about people who are basically very slowly riding toward death. And it does not have an uplifting or traditional narrative arc. It's very episodic, in fact.
Is Philomena like that as well?
No, I think that's a very tightly woven screenplay.
So it better qualifies as an Academy Award type
of film. Yeah, except that sometimes, and I don't mean this necessarily in a derogatory sense. I think a lot of these films have great virtues. in their entertainment value and sometimes manage to do things that are quite extraordinary. For example, I'd say Philomena, which could have been a tearjerker, one of these sentimental sob stories. And in fact, it is a very interesting examination of class, faith, the relationships between these two disparate people who would never meet under ordinary circumstances. And it really avoids that sentimentality.
So to answer your caller's second part of the question, which films I think should win regardless of which ones might, for me, it really is about 12 Years a Slave. I wish that the film had been nominated for even more awards. I think it should win Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Chiwetel Ejiofor, definitely Best Supporting Actress, Lupita Nyong'o. I think it's the best film of the year, hands down, for me. I won't be unhappy if American Hustle wins because it's also a good film. But for me, it's really about 12 Years a Slave. Mm-hmm. And it should have been nominated for Best Cinematography.
Yeah, I completely agree. It really is an exception. This film is in a class by itself, purely through the subject matter, which does something that very, very few films have ever dared to do. And it is also a great film. This is not just about, let's pay homage to this subject matter that never gets spoken about. It is a great film.
Let's get off the Best Picture nomination list for a moment to talk about a nomination for Best Actress. Cate Blanchett.
Absolutely.
Blue Jasmine, we don't want to overlook her. You wanted to talk about her and set up a clip for us.
Absolutely. So Cate Blanchett is the odds-on favorite to win for Blue Jasmine for Best Actress, the Woody Allen film from the summer. And she plays a woman kind of very loosely based on the Madoff family, Ruth Madoff, imagining that her a situation in which her husband has been put in jail for financial misdeeds. And she becomes unhinged. And she goes out to California to live with her sister. And in this scene, she's telling her sister, Ginger, who's not heard here but is played by Sally Hawkins, who's also nominated for Best Supporting Actress. She's telling her about her plans. And you can hear a lot of what is really moving people in Cate Blanchett's performance in this clip.
I want to go back to school. I want to get my degree and become, something substantial. I can't just do some mindless job. Oh, I was forced to take a job selling shoes on Madison Avenue. Oh, so humiliating. Friends I'd had at dinner parties, our apartment came in and I waited on them. I mean, do you have any idea what that's like? No, one minute you're hosting women and the next you're measuring their shoe size and fitting them. Erica Bishop came into the store. She saw me. Was so embarrassed for me. She slipped out thinking I didn't see her. I saw you, Erica!
I remember we talked about this in the summer.
Yeah.
Blue Jasmine, you really liked her performance.
Yes, very much.
So we're thinking she's going to get this? Or
yeah.
Who's she up against?
She's up against
Sandra
the only possible person who could unseat her is Amy Adams. It's probably going to be Kate.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, the whole Woody Allen controversy kind of for a second seemed like it might possibly undermine it, but that's not happening.
Okay. Linda, thanks again for being here, and happy Oscars to you.
Oh, thank you.
Linda DeLibero, who joins us once a month for Midday on Film with Christopher Llewellyn Reed from Stevenson University. Linda, of course, a director of film and media studies at the Johns Hopkins University. They'll both be back next week because we're celebrating Stanley Kubrick next Friday on our regular edition of Midday on Film. Right, Chris?
Yes, we are. Can't wait.
One last comment from John. One of our listeners says, the best picture for me last year was All Is Lost. Robert Redford was the best actor. I saw the nominated pictures, and they do not measure up to All Is Lost. Well, I guess they lost, didn't they?
They did.
Maybe they'll win
Sadly.
Something. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Oscars, everybody.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
Midday's senior producer is Nikki Gamer. The producer and director is Jonathan Ahrens. The associate producer, Michael Himowitz. Our interns are Luke Spicknell, James Daly, Tom Cartaxo, and Michelle Richardson. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming available at WYPR.org. Dan Roderick's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.